Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called sons of God. Behold what manner of love. Look to Him. You want to find some traction this year? Look to Jesus.
That is Hunter Barnes, lead pastor at City Church, Cincinnati. It's from the final message in our series, Small Things. The small things we're talking about this week are habits. And Pastor Hunter will share more on that in just a moment. City Church, Cincinnati meets on Sunday mornings at Tri-County Mall right next to Ethan Allen. We get underway at 10:30. We'd love to have you stop by and visit with us. You can find out more about City Church at citychurchcincinnati.org, or you can get in touch with us by phone at 513-541-1929. That's 513-541-1929. Now let's join Pastor Hunter as he gets us started this morning.
I want to start with a powerful thought today about discipline. But before we do, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, how many of you would say that you are, in general, you're a pretty highly disciplined person? Go ahead and raise your hand. Go and let it fly. There you go. That's right. Be proud. There it is. Highly disciplined people. That's good. Some people have, you know, they've learned to incorporate certain life disciplines and skills in their life that have been fruitful, and they've seen the fruit of that. Okay. Now, how about, let me ask the other question too. Now, how many of you would say, you know, not so much? I'm not probably a very highly disciplined person. Go ahead and raise your hand. Let it fly. That's right. Stand up strong. That's right, brothers. I'm with you there. I totally identify with you. I tend not to be an overly disciplined person. You know, I'm an artist at heart. Look at my desk and you will see that I'm not a highly disciplined person. Now, thankfully, God has begun to weave certain spiritual disciplines in my life that have been fruitful, but I understand if you're in that boat of the non-disciplined. But listen to this. I would argue this, that we are all, whether you raised your hand for one question or the other, that we are all creatures of habit and discipline. We are all creatures of habits and discipline. The question is more about what kind of habits or disciplines are shaping your life. It's not a matter of whether you are or not. It's what kinds of disciplines are shaping your life. And are they helpful or are they harmful? Some habits will release us into greater freedom, and joy and peace and productivity and life. And other habits, they have a way of confining us, constricting us. They bind us up. Right? They don't release us into life and joy and peace and kindness. The question is, what kinds of habits are chasing or shaping your life? Here's a definition, very simple of a definition of discipline. Discipline is simply choosing between what we want now and what we want most. It's an important discipline, important description of this idea of discipline. What I want now as opposed to what I want most. And for many of you, all of you here, you have had some measure of success in your life. And if we were to look at those areas of success, we would see these disciplines, these positive disciplines coming out in the way that you live. Maybe you've got a good marriage. I would venture to say that if you've got a good marriage, then there are some disciplines at work in your life that have helped to produce this in you, right? Maybe you're attentive. You listen to your spouse when they're talking to you, right? That's a discipline or a habit that you've developed. Maybe you show honor in little things, like you open the door for your wife when she gets into the car. Maybe you share meals together. Maybe you pray together. My hunch is this: if you've got a good marriage, then you've got some good disciplines that are at work in your life, yeah? Same thing goes for finances, right? If you are financially healthy, if you've got a good financial life, I would venture to say that you've got some good disciplines at work there, right? I promise you this, that you are spending less than you make if you've got a good financial life. Right? You are generous in your outlook towards life. You are using some wisdom in the way in which you apply your investments. These are disciplines that you're incorporating into your life. And of course, the opposite is also true. Right? Any area where we're not succeeding, well, we've got some disciplines that are at work there that are not producing the kind of results that we want. And we can be, this is the thing, we can be so inconsistent in our right disciplines, in our right desires and habits. Right now is about when it really starts to show. Many of you started the new year with some New Year's resolutions, right? And you don't have to raise your hand for this one. But you began with some good intentions. Right? I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to get my finances in order. I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to do these certain things. And right about now, some 40-plus days after the new year, right, our inconsistencies start to show up a bit. Right? Instead of going to the gym, well, the debate's on tonight, so I think I'm going to, you know, hang out. It's important. I'm going to be a good citizen by watching this instead of going to the gym. Or, you know, I want to eat this apple, but those Doritos end up showing up next to me on the couch for some inexplicable reason, right? Our inconsistencies start to show up right about this time of year. We start strong, but we're not finishing all that well. And I completely relate to this. And maybe you do too. One of the encouraging things about the Bible is that we have the Apostle Paul, people like the Apostle Paul. And I love how real the Bible is. Right? This holy book of ours does not try to conceal people's flaws or our inconsistencies in life. In fact, it's all out there for everybody to see. And the great Apostle Paul, he relates to this problem that we have with having good disciplines and habits in our life, fruitful behaviors that lead to life and joy and peace. He completely gets this. This is what he says in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Paul says this. He says, I really don't understand myself. Isn't that great? That's a verse you ought to memorize. Just, it'll encourage your heart. You know, when you hear Paul say, man, I don't understand myself. Anybody know what that feels like to go through life? I don't understand why I do the things that I do. And this whole chapter really begins to kind of suss out that idea. He says, I don't understand myself. I want to do what's right, but then I blow it, he says. I want to do what's right, but then I don't. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but check this out. I end up doing it anyway. I want to eat that apple, but the Doritos are calling my name. I want to do the right thing, but I end up doing the wrong thing. And then in verse 20, he says this. But if I do what I don't want to do, check this out. If I do what I don't want to do, he says, I'm not the one who's really doing it. Check that out. How about that? Well, then who is it, Paul, if you're not doing it? He says this, it's actually sin living in me that does it. I don't want you to miss this. Listen, by nature, we are not self-disciplined people. We're not. That's not sinful nature to be disciplined. By nature, our sin pulls us away from what God wants. Our sin nature bends us toward doing what is wrong rather than what is right. I want to do what's right, but our sin nature lures us away from God and tempts us to do what is wrong. So if you've ever felt like this, then you can identify with what Paul says here in verse 24. He says, oh, what a miserable person am I. Oh, what a miserable, who will free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? And then he answers this question. But this isn't rhetorical. Who's going to deliver me? He's going to answer the question. It's so important. Who can help me overcome temptations? Who can help me walk away from sin? Who can help me to be consistent? Who can help me to have the right disciplines? He says this in verse 25. He says, thank God. And notice this. He says, thank God. The answer is not a principle. The answer is not 7 habits to highly effective living. The answer is not 613 Levitical laws. No, he says, thank God. The one who delivers me is Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who delivers me. He can help me with this problem that I have. He can help me to be different. He can help me to change. He can help me to be transformed. Christ in me is stronger than the appetites in me. I mean, this is so important. This is this principle that Paul lays out there. Christ in you, your hope and your glory, can completely redefine our lives if we truly get a hold of it, because I'm not self-disciplined, but I can be, according to the Word of God, I can be spirit-disciplined. because the Spirit inside me is what empowers me to do what I'm incapable of doing on my own. It's the Spirit of God within you. And some of you, some of us have been struggling with things for years. Today you can be set free. You can. That's the truth of the gospel, because the power of Christ in you is stronger than the appetites in you. Self-discipline, your own ability for self-control, will not enable you to overcome sin's control over you. It is the Spirit of God in you, it's Spirit-disciplined living that will free you into a new way of life. So this is how we do it. You ready for how we do it here? It's very simple. Like I said, it's not a program. It's not seven habits. It's not 613 laws. It's this, and we sang about it. It's by looking to Him. You want to find a way to get through life where you are overcoming and not being overcome? Then you look to Him. You look to Jesus. When we look at Him, this is what happens. When we look at Jesus, our affections are stirred. Do you hear me? When we look at Him, our affections are stirred. If you really look at Jesus, you're going to have a hard time not falling in love with Him. If we look at Him, our affections will be stirred. The only way to overcome a bad desire is not to deny and squelch and ignore and stuff that bad desire. The only way to overcome that bad desire, bad habit, or bad discipline is to desire another discipline more. Is to desire something else even more. You need to have your affections for Him stirred so that the hunger for sin is not there anymore. So it's about looking to Him. If you look at Him, you will see Him. If you pursue Him, you will find Him. And when you look at Him, you will love Him, because you will see someone who humbled himself. You will see someone who pursued you in spite of your sin, in spite of your shame, in spite of your guilt, in spite of it all. He pursued your heart anyway. If you look at Him, you'll see how much love He has for you. You'll see unlimited love, unceasing mercy that comes to you every single day. Every day. So brothers and sisters, you want to find some traction in this life. You want to find a way to overcome these things, these addictions, these habits, these predilections toward things that are harmful to you. You want to find that? Then let me, very simple, brothers, sisters, we start here. We look to Jesus. Look to Him. And allow your heart to be stirred by how beautiful He is. Amen? Look to Him. He's our champion. He is lovely. He is strong. He is compassionate. He is merciful. He is kind. He is full of joy. Look to Him. You know, we can lose Him, right? We can lose this whole thing into just, it's just things that we do. It's rituals. It's showing up to church. It's doctrinal statements. It's wearing certain things and not wearing other things. And it's eating certain things and not eating certain things. We can lose Him. And the Spirit of God is saying, son, don't lose Him. Daughter, don't lose Him. Look to Him. Look to Him. And see what love, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called sons of God. Behold what manner of love. Look to Him. You want to find some traction this year? Look to Jesus. That's what we do. We look to Him. And this is the other thing we do. We look to His kingdom. We look to His kingdom. You know, we all have our own kingdoms, don't we? We're kingdom-like creatures. At the age of 2, you begin to see a child speaking in kingdom terms. No, making kingdom-like pronouncements from their throne in the car seat. No. And then the other kingdom word, mine. We're kingdom creatures, aren't we? And our kingdom, our kingdoms are the effective, let me give you a simple definition of kingdom, the effective range of your will. The effective range of your will. And you begin to see a 2-year-old in the back seat exercising the effective range of their will, right? Especially when they have a sibling sitting next to them. Mine. This is my side of the car, right? And then we see kingdoms in conflict, right? Because this person starts to edge over to this other person's kingdom. And then before long, the parent is exercising the effective range of their will, which is like this. Don't make me do this. The effective range of my will is as far as my hand goes back, right? This is where my kingdom ends, back here. But we are kingdom creatures. But we need to look to his kingdom. That's the second thing that we need to do. Look to him, and we look to his kingdom. When I look to him, I see how good he is. And then I can recognize, ultimately, that he is the king. When I look to him, I see how good he is. And I recognize that he is the king. I recognize that I can safely lay my kingdom down. I recognize that I can safely let my empire of dirt go, as Johnny Cash would say. My empire of dirt. I recognize that I can trust him. When I look to him, I can safely lay my kingdom down, and I can see that I have a good father. I recognize that I have a redeemer. Therefore, I can learn to say, not my will, but your will. Not my kingdom, but your kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And this is good news, brothers and sisters. This is fantastic news. You know this word that Jesus uses, evangelion, good news, that he comes out of the desert proclaiming right from the very beginning. Good news, he said. He's always equating good news with this phrase, the kingdom of God. Over and over and over again, as you look through the scriptures, read the gospels, you'll see Jesus proclaiming, hey everybody, good news. The kingdom of God is here. Good news, God's kingdom. Good news, God is good. You can trust him. Lay down your kingdom and enter into his. Good news, the kingdom of God is near. You want to know what the good news is? The gospel is? Very simple. It's about the kingdom. It's about our king and his kingdom. Jesus, this was a keystone discipline in Jesus' life. These disciplines in his own life that he kept and that he exemplified, he modeled for us. Jesus was always looking to the Father, right? What I've asked you today, challenged you with today is keep looking to Jesus, right? What did Jesus do? His eye is always on the Father. He says, I don't say anything unless my Father tells me to say it. I don't do anything unless my Father tells me to do it. My eyes are always on him. And he's always on, his eyes also on the kingdom of his Father too. Right from the very beginning of his ministry, he goes out into the wilderness and what happens? The enemy shows up, right? And when he's up there in the desert, in the wilderness, he's going 40 days fasting. The enemy comes and he says, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He shows him the kingdoms. He says, I will give it all to you now if you will stop and worship me here. And he says, no, you shall not worship anyone but the Lord your God. I will not bow down to any kingdom other than my Father's. I will not submit myself to anyone's will other than his. We see this taking place right at the beginning of his ministry when he's out in the wilderness. And then later on during his ministry, he's going around telling everybody, hey, everybody, good news. The kingdom is here. The king is here. I'm the king. The kingdom's arrived. And then later on when he's talking to his disciples and they want to know, how do we pray? How do we live? How do we exercise these spiritual things? And he says, you want to know how to pray? Pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When he stood before Pilate and those who were accusing him, they asked him, are you a king? And he says, it is as you say, but my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus is always focused on the kingdom. When they hung him on a cross, the written charge and the notice against him read, the king of the Jews, in three different languages so everyone could see this was a king. And he's announcing his kingdom. And brothers and sisters, ours is to keep our eye on the kingdom, to keep our eye on his purposes, on his desires, on what God's doing. The kingdom is here. It's here, and we are to always keep our eyes fixed on there. You want to have power to overcome these sinful urges in your life, these habits that have controlled you, owned you. Keep your eye on him. See how much he loves you. Have your affections stirred with him, and then you will begin to see that you have a place in the kingdom of God. You have a role in the kingdom to play. You have a note in the symphony of God that only you can play. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works in the kingdom that he prepared for you long ago. Somebody say amen. This is what happens as you begin to see your role in the kingdom. When you look at the king and see what he's calling you to, and you recognize that I can lay my kingdom down. You recognize I've got a role here. I've been called. You see these things. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 12. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, these are kingdom witnesses, to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Let us take off every negative habit or discipline that slows me down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, he says. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this, how do we do it? We do this by keeping our what? Our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Who initiates and perfects the faith? Jesus does. Our job is to look to him, to fix our eyes on him, to throw aside all those things that might hinder us, and we can only do that when our eyes are fixed on him. So we look to him because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Again, look at what love has been shown to us. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Again, kingdom language here. Think of all the hostility endured for sinful people like you and me. Then you won't be weary and give up, right? If our affections are stirred with him, we won't be weary and give up because I know I'm loved. He loved me all the way to the cross and back, right? I'm loved. There's nothing that can separate me from from God who loves me. Not the heights, nor the depths, nor heaven, nor hell, angels, seas, mountains. Nothing can ever separate me from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's telling us here. Look upon him and you will not grow weary and give up. After all, you've not given your lives in your struggle against sin. And then this, verse 5, check this out. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? We've been talking about words, God's word to you. He recognizes how easy it is to forget them. Have you forgotten the encouraging word? What was your word? Hope, friendship. Relationship. I read some of them. Have you forgotten the encouraging word that he's spoken to you as his children? So this is the third thing. We look to him, look to his kingdom, we look to his word. Have you forgotten the encouraging word that he's spoken to you? Listen, I'm a big forgetter. I am. I forget all the time. I forget people's names. I forget to bring home the milk. I forget to do the email. I'm just a forgetter. We are encouraged to remember. Because we so easily forget. And when I forget, when I'm not going to the Word, I'm so quick to forget that I'm loved by him. My heart starts to move in the direction of doubt, despair, starts going right into those habits that used to own me like nobody's business. If I'm not being reminded of the encouraging Word that he has for me, that's where I'm going. It's so easy, isn't it? We forget. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. Go to the Word. Go to this Word. It's a good Word. It's good news. It's not a condemning Word. It's grace. It's yes to you. It's you too. Here. Go to the Word. Be encouraged by it. Be strengthened by it. We can't do it without the Word, my friends. We really can't. If you do these things, it's, you know, very simple. If you do these things, if you look to Jesus, if you look to his kingdom, if you look to his word, you'll begin to have an ability to overcome those habits that once devastated your life. And it won't be because you have greater self-discipline, but because you have developed spirit discipline in your life. You will be walking in the Spirit. That's what that means. That's what we've described here, right? Look to him, look to his kingdom, look to his word. What we're describing here is spirit-filled living. I want you to go to Galatians here and look at this description. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. He says this, So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Those two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. Back to that first verse. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and then you won't fulfill your sinful nature's desires. So look to Jesus. Look to the kingdom. Stay in his word. And brothers and sisters, you will have the power to overcome these sinful things. They won't have the kind of grip that they have had on your life. It's not going to be by trying to wrestle those things into the ground. It's not by becoming a better sin manager that you're going to find deliverance. It's going to be by walking in the Spirit. So I got a simple challenge for us over the course of these next days leading up to Easter. I want you to read the Gospel of Matthew, 28 chapters. Read a chapter a day, Monday through Friday. My heart and my desire is this, that as you read the Gospel, the good news, you will see him and your affections will be stirred. You will see how loved you are. And because of this, you'll see that I'm safe enough to lay my kingdom down and to pursue his. He's a good king. He loves me so much. He's a good father. He's a good shepherd. I can trust him to lay down my kingdom and pick up his, to become a part of it.
Hunter Barnes, lead pastor of City Church, Cincinnati, wrapping up this morning. If you would like to talk to someone about what you heard, you can get in touch with us at citychurchcincinnati.org. You can also find out more about City Church or get directions to stop by and visit with us. If you would like to contact us by phone, you can do that at 513-541-1929. That's 513-541-1929. You can use the website we just mentioned, citychurchcincinnati.org, also to hear previous messages in this and other series, and also share those with friends. Now, once again, here is Pastor Hunter.
Thanks for joining us today on Star 93.3. I hope that God's word really spoke to your heart. And if it did, would you take a minute and tell us about it? We love to capture the stories of people who are being impacted by the radio ministry of City Church. So send an email to story@citychurchcincinnati.org. Tell us about what God's doing in your life. We always take these stories and let them encourage our staff and volunteers, reminding them that God is alive and active and using this unique radio ministry. In addition to that, if you've ever felt like you would like to contribute to the ministry of City Church, I encourage you to do that. You can click on the donate link at citychurchcincinnati.org. Consider giving a one-time gift or a reoccurring donation of whatever God is laying on your heart. Thanks again for helping City Church reach the tri-state region with the love of Jesus and the whole world online. Let's go forward.